The following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, April 8th, 2019.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She knows everything you do, because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. With me at the board is my friend, my partner, and engineer and co-producer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
What a beautiful day here in Sonoma County, and I just want to say hi to everybody. I'm so excited that we're back on the air again. This is our second show this month. Just to let our listeners know that Ken is healing very well, and I want to thank you so much for all the wonderful letters and postings on Facebook and all the wonderful things that people brought forward to help us through this time. Well, I'm really excited about today's show. Earth Day is April 22nd, and I'm very excited that joining me on the phone all the way from Washington, D.C. will be Tracy Ritchie from the Earth Day Network, where she serves as the Director of Education. We'll be talking about the history of Earth Day, which has been celebrated on April 22nd. Second for the past 49 years. In 2020, they will be celebrating their 50th anniversary. And the theme this year for Earth Day is Earth Day 2019, Protect Our Species. Wow, Protect Our Species. Well, you know, there's a lot going on right now. It's amazing. I mean, there's deniers and there's people clamoring. There's the youth that's on the movement. It's just an amazing time. I decided that this month is going to be pretty much dedicated to the environment. You know, it was really interesting when I was preparing for the show. I went on their website, the Earth Day Network, and I found something really interesting. First of all, like I said at the beginning, the theme this month is for this Earth Day this year, 2019, is Earth Day 2019, Save Our Species. You know, nature's gift to our planet are the millions of species that we know and love, and many more that remain to be discovered. You know, unfortunately, you know, the human beings are going around the earth. They're being very, very destructive. And it's very important that we pay attention, and also to recognize that on April 27th, I believe it is, in downtown Santa Rosa. Let me get to that flyer here. It's called Santa Rosa's Earth Day on Sage. That's going to be on Saturday, April 27th from 12 to 4 p.m. It's a free event. It's going to be at Old Courthouse Square. That's at 69 Old Courthouse Square in Santa Rosa. And if you need more information, you can give them a call at 707-543-3711. Excuse me. This is Santa Rosa's 10th annual Earth Day Festival. It's free. It's family-friendly festival that brings the community together through fun activities, life-performing arts, and inspiring exhibits. And RAISE is there particularly to raise environmental awareness. Don't miss out on this, you know, and don't, miss out on the opportunity to meet some of your folks here in the community that are working on the environment. And also what's kind of fun, I know KBBF will be out there on the radio at the Earth Day celebration on the 27th, and also there'll be lots of good food, lots of good music. And one of the things that I love about Earth Day is that you go around and you just go to the different booths and you see some of the things that our folks are doing in the area, and it's kind of inspiring. You know, you hear so much bad news on the air. It's good to see some good news. You know, another thing that was real interesting when I went on their website, it was about Rachel Carson. Rachel Carson wrote a book called Silent Spring, and she wrote it in 1962. And it's kind of interesting. Here it is, 1962. Let's see. This is 2019, 1962. That's 57 years ago. that she was warning us about pesticides. And we're finally at the point now where we're realizing that Roundup might just be causing cancer in our young children. But I want to just tell you a little bit about Rachel Carson. You know, oftentimes we forget some of the people in the past that we're standing on the shoulders of. And she was really vilified. You know, they tried to, I mean, I think they called her everything but a communist when she wrote this book, Silent Spring. Let's just talk a little bit about her. Rachel Louise Carson, she was born May 27th, 1907, and she made her transition on April 14th, 1964. She was an American marine biologist, an author, and a conservative whose book Silent Spring and other writings are credited with advancing the global environmental movement. Late in the 1950s, Carson turned her attention to conservation, specifically some problems that she believed were caused by synthetic pesticides. The result was the book Silent Spring, written in 1962, which brought environmental concerns to an unprecedented share of the American people. Although Silent Spring, now this is, of course, I mean, does this surprise you, was met with fierce opposition by chemical companies, it spurred a reversal in national pesticide policies, which led to a nationwide ban on DDT and other pesticides. And what's so interesting when you start thinking about it, it always reminds me, I can't remember the person who actually made this statement, but at one time women were dying in childbirth, and the conclusion was, or the solution to it was, that we start washing our hands. And my God, you think this guy was creating a revolution. What do you mean wash our hands before we go into surgery? You know, it's the same thing with Silent Spring. What are you talking about? Pesticides. You know, and here we are, 2019, and we're finally looking at the possibility of getting rid of chemicals like the ones that are in Roundup that we all spray on our lawns so generously. So there's a lot to think about, and I would look up Rachel Carson. It's R-A-C-H-E-L, and the last name C-A-R-S-O-N, and she wrote the book Silent Spring. And she says, one of her quotes is, "In nature, nothing exists alone." Interesting. Nothing exists alone. Well, I have a few announcements to make, and I'm really excited about this one that's happening this Saturday, April 13th at 2 o'clock, and that's going to be Peter Gable, who is a law academic and associate editor of the Tikkun magazine, a bi-monthly Jewish critique of politics, culture, and society. And he's going to be at the Reader's Books at 1:30 Napa Street in Sonoma, and it's being presented by the Praxis Institute. And if you're interested in finding out more about it, give them a holler at 707-939-2973. I know Peter Gables. He's a marvelous man. He's actually the son of Arlene Francis, and they do the Arlene Francis Center here down in downtown Santa Rosa. And it should be a real interesting conversation with him. Gable created a group email for neighbors who wanted to help and distribute flyers in the neighborhood, asking neighbors to sign a list pledging to buy a hard book every month. So what he's trying to do is encourage folks to read. You know, we don't read anymore. Seems like everybody's got their phones in front of them, but you don't see very many people with books, although they do have books online. So there's all kinds of different ways that we can read. Now, I did do the announcement about the Santa Rosa Earth Day, which is going to be happening on the 27th. And like I always do, if you can go ahead and just go to our website on www.womenspaces.com, you'll see all the announcements that I make. Another thing that's happening that I think is going to be very, very interesting for people, and that's going to be this April 13th and April 14th, it's going to be a basic workshop on Alternatives to Violence Project, and that's going to be happening, let's see, where is that going to be happening? This is so interesting. I'll have to come back in a moment to figure out where that, let's see, where is that happening? Well, here's a phone number. We can call John at 576-0511, and they will have all the information for you. They sent me this flyer, but I don't see the address and where it's going to be happening. So just give John a number at 576-0511, area code 707. You know, one final announcement before we take a small musical break here, but what's happening also here at KBBF, we've just ended a fundraiser, and the fundraiser was trying to encourage folks to become members. So I thought I would just give you a little bit of background about me and my relationship with KBBF. I started here in 1976. I first went on the air with Women's Spaces. It was a very, very exciting time. I was working as a counselor for an organization called Athena House, which was an alternative to incarceration. When a gentleman came into one of our staff meetings and started talking about this bilingual radio station here in Santa Rosa, and that they wanted to start a woman's show. They wanted it to be part of their programming to have a woman's show. Was there anybody in the room that had done radio? Well, I looked around. Nobody raised their hand. And finally, I raised my hand and I said to him, I said, well, I don't know if this is radio, but when I was at Los Angeles City College, I was a journalism major, and I announced the weather report, and I also announced the sports scores. And the man looked at me, and he said, did you have a mic in front of you? And I go, well, yeah. He says, well, you did radio. that was the start here for me at KBBF. And I was on for 4 years. I was on 1976 to 1980. It could have been a little more, even maybe 5 years. I think I ended in 1981 when I went to work for the Comprehensive and Employment and Training Act called CETA. So I did not have the time anymore that I could put into the radio. I was a single parent, and all kinds of different things are happening, so I took a little bit of a sabbatical. And about 6 years ago, they invited me to come back on the air, and I've been on the air ever since. And it's really an honor. It's a privilege to be here. Also, I donate to KBBF every month for me to be on the air. And all of us at the station are volunteers. So it's really important that we have support from the community. Why do I say that? Well, just look at the variety of programs we have. We have English-speaking programs. We have English and Spanish. We have Spanish and English. And we have straight Spanish. And we have some indigenous language. We also have a new show that's on once a month about the Palestinian struggle that's going on. And also Tom Hartman's on, and we have Democracy Now. I mean, I can go on and on. We have many, many wonderful shows. I mean, it truly is a community radio, but we can't exist without you folks out there. And, you know, during the fire, it was just amazing watching how helpful the station was, being on the air 24/7, and also you know, helping our bilingual community. I mean, people were running down to the beach. They didn't know what to do, and it wasn't for KBBF. Most of them would not have known what to do. So I need to do a really loud shout out for them. So I really want to encourage folks out there. You know, last month was my birthday, and Ken had a major health challenge, and so we were not on the air. And so when I came on last week, I said, oh, come on, if I was about a nice birthday present, become a member of KBBF. Well, you can also, not only can you become a member, but you can also become a sustainer. That means you can give $5 or $10 a month. If you go on www.kbbf.org and look at the right-hand corner, you'll see it says donations. That's where you can either become a member or become a sustainer. It's really important that you support this station, and I really encourage you to please support Women's Spaces. I mean, we're one of the few actual women's shows in the Bay Area. I mean, it's very exciting. We actually have two wonderful women's shows. We also have a women's show on Spanish that it plays on Saturday mornings. So we have quite a variety here, but we need your help. We need the listeners out there to support us and to become members. You know, membership for a whole family is $40 a year. You know, that's nothing. And look at the benefits you get, the benefit of having a strong, I mean, we go to 18 counties, a strong community radio station. I mean, I can't say enough. I want to do a shout out for our director, Alicia Sanchez of the board, how hard she works, and also Edgar Avila, who is our program director. They keep the station moving, plus all the members out there, and I hope someone out there listening, give us a holler. Go on the website. You can call us at 545-8833, area code 707. Become a member that way, or go on the website, www.kbbf.org. Lot to think about, you know, lots of different ways to get involved. You know, people ask themselves, they say, well, how can I get involved? Well, there's all kinds of ways. People protest, that's one way to get involved. They write letters to the editor, that's another way to get involved. They donate money to their own private charities or to organizations that they support that are working politically. And, of course, they become members of KBBF 89.1 FM, Santa Rosa, Calistoga. I love KBBF. I really do. You know, we serve a very important part of the community. I mean, we're bilingual. We're several languages, and makes it possible for many, many people to listen in and to get the message. And the message is of peace and hope. At least I hope it's peace and hope. Anyway, we're going to take a musical break, and I haven't played this for a while. And, you know, I think, Ken, you might try to get a hold of Tracy. Maybe she can listen. It looks like the show is running a little bit early. I was going to call her 11:25. Maybe we can call her a little bit earlier. The song I'm going to play is Hey, Mr. Politician, and it's sung by Ellen Booksdale. And the reason, you know, everything is politics. I mean, it's all about making decisions. It's all about voting on different bills. It's all about politics. But it's also about public involvement and public speaking out. So let's listen to Hey, Mr. Politician, sung by Ellen Booksdale. And when we come back, I will be talking with Tracy Ritchie in Washington, D.C. from the Earth Day Network, where she serves as the Director of Education. We'll be talking about the history of Earth Day, which has been celebrated on April 22nd for the past 49 years. And in 2020, they'll be celebrating their 50th anniversary. The theme this year for Earth Day is Earth Day 2019, Protect Our Species. So let's go ahead and let's listen to Hey, Mr. Politician, sung by Ellen Booksdale.
Mr. Politician, don't legislate my love. You're not walking in my shoes. Don't hide behind your religion. It's my right to marry whom I choose. It's not your place to call me a sinner or decide who to have as my mate. Don't twist the words of the Bible. Hey, Mr. Politician, there's no debate. We already separated church and state. Your religion should never abuse or take away my freedom to choose. Hey, Mr. Politician, don't legislate my body. You're not walking in my shoes. Don't hide behind self-righteousness. It's my right not to give birth if I choose. It's not your place to turn back the clock to a time when I had no voice. Don't try to take away my right to have freedom of choice. Church and state, your religion should never abuse or take away my freedom to choose. politician, don't send me to war. You're not walking in my shoes. Don't hide behind a battle. It's not worth the lives we lose. It's not your place to lead your crusade, teaching our children to fight. Or say, can you see? The dawn's early light. Hey, Mr. Politician, there's no debate. We already separated church and state. Your religion should never abuse or take away my freedom to choose. Hey, Mr. Politician, there's no debate. We already separated church.
So much going on in this world, particularly around climate change. And like I said at the beginning before we started the song, everything is political. But we always have to remind ourselves that we are one planet, one people, and one heart. Well, anyway, for you folks just joining us, you were listening to KBBF 89.1 FM, Calistoga, Santa Rosa. I want to remind my listeners the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of KBBF, its board of directors, its members, or Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I want to introduce my guest. Joining me on the phone is Tracy Ritchie. Tracy, welcome to Women's Spaces.
Hi, Elaine. Thank you so much. I'm really, really excited to speak with you today and to speak to your audience as well.
Well, this is wonderful. Let me tell the folks just a little bit about you. Tracy Ritchie is from the Earth Day Network, where she serves as the Director of Education. And Tracy joined the Earth Day Network as the Director of Education in January of 2018. Most recently, she was adjunct faculty at the University of Florida and has held positions from Florida to North Carolina, managing and facilitating environmental education programs. Tracy completed her PhD at the University of Florida in 2017. Her research focused on developed systems thinking skills in students and teachers to effectively communicate about complex environmental issues and as climate change. She also holds a master's degree in environmental education and a bachelor's degree in wildlife ecology and conservation. Tracy has been active in the field of environmental education for over 12 years and looks forward to working with the global network of educators through EDN to advance environmental and climate literacy worldwide. Boy, that's a lot on your plate, Tracy. Well, welcome. Welcome to our program.
Thank you so much, Elaine.
Well, you know, this is Women's Spaces, and one of the things about the show is my goal is to try to encourage other women to become involved and to find out how all of us have gotten involved. So would you like to add anything else that you'd like our listeners to know about you? And also, can you give us a little background on how you got involved in the environmental movement and what was it that kind of sparked you?
Sure, happy to do so. I started out as a child who was just very interested in animals and being outside, and I knew I wanted to be a voice for animals that didn't have a voice to protect them. So I actually started off my career as a zookeeper. I basically just wanted to work with animals as much as I could. And then through my undergraduate program, I started working on research to find out how we could better help animals instead of just talking about them. So my big aha moment was a beach in South Carolina where I was working as a naturalist to help sea turtles that were nesting on those beaches. And it was an island resort, so people were really only there for maybe a week or two at a time and didn't know a lot about the ecology of the sea turtles. But through our programs, they would come and do night walks with our education staff, and they got to learn about all the different actions that were actually very simple that they could do to help take care of sea turtles. So not having white lights on the beach at night that would disrupt their nesting, or making sure not to dig holes in the beach at night and leave it so the turtles might fall into them. And then I would see the next night, families from the program before were out on the beach helping me tell people what to do and how we can help and all these different actions we could take. And I saw the power of education. And that's really where I switched my focus from a more field research, hard science background to education. And so then it was really important for me to go back to school to learn how to be the best educator I could be. And it's just really been my goal all along to help people kind of share my enthusiasm and what I call my extreme nerdiness for animals and all the neat facts about nature, and let people know that there's really simple things that we could do in our everyday actions to be better stewards on this planet.
Well, you know, it's interesting. When I went on your website talking about Earth Day 2019, Protect Our Species, there's a quote by Rachel Carson. I think it kind of alludes to what you're talking about. In nature, nothing exists alone.
Exactly.
You know, and you're looking at the turtles. You know, it's just like right now, we're beekeepers, and right now we're looking at the fact that the bees are having so much problems, and here we are, the first generation that has ever really had a problem with bees. So it shows that in nature nothing exists alone, that everything balances out. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely, and that's a lot of what my dissertation research was about, was helping students think in this systems manner of that everything's connected, everything is interdependent, and when we pull at one string, if there's a severe collapse in our bee populations, that impacts pretty much our entire existence, from agriculture and all the pollination of all the foods that we eat to the pollinating the plants where we get the oxygen that we breathe. So we're really dependent on all of each other, from the smallest creatures and pollinators to humans. We all need to work together in this really complex system to understand how it all works together.
Well, and definitely hearing young women like yourself, you know, and like I said at the beginning, is that Women's Spaces try to encourage other women to get involved. So talk a little bit about, you know, where did you get the confidence? I mean, here you have a doctor's degree, a PhD, you know, you got yourself a master's degree, also a bachelor's degree. Where did you get your confidence to move on in this particular field? And also, how do you stand up to it when all of a sudden you hear people denying some of the stuff that's going on?
Sure. So, absolutely. I've been really fortunate in my life to have some really strong female role models all along through my career. So first and foremost is my mom. She really encouraged me from the very beginning that education was extremely important, and did everything within her power to make sure that I was always able to have a really high quality education, and help me get through all the different degrees from bachelor's to PhD. And so seeing her in her career was really inspiring, and making sure that I lived up to those high bars. And then through my different jobs and my different degree programs, I've always had female leadership that was really inspiring, of women can take on these roles, and women have a lot to say. And sometimes there's maybe more that women are in tune with the natural world and how we can be very strong but vocal caretakers of our planet and all of our species on this planet. So just through my career, looking up to these women and seeing them in leadership roles, seeing them have a voice at the table, though I had a very male-centered committee in leadership through my doctoral program and through a science degree program where it was very dominated by men, I was really impressed to see my advisor and other scientists at the table, making sure that people understood all the aspects to make sure that we weren't just talking about the hard science and what the data showed, but how could we better interpret that and make that information accessible to everyone. So that was always, I think, a valuable role that women played, to really be considerate and think about everyone at the table, making sure no one was left out and making sure that everyone was on the same page and involved.
Well, you know, it's really interesting when you think about how women have progressed. At one time, women were never considered to be scientists. I mean, that was just like... Mm-hmm. Something out of the blue all of a sudden.
Right. And Rachel Carson is a great example.
And also, you know, it was so interesting. One, I just loved Rachel Carson. And also there was lately there's been a documentary, I believe it was on Netflix, and I couldn't believe what she went through. I mean, they vilified her because she was coming across by saying, hey, listen, we got to look at the environment. We got to look at these pesticides. We have to look at what they're doing to not only the environment, but we're breathing in all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So it was amazing to see, to hear her talk about how everything is related. Well, let's start talking a little bit about Earth Day. And Tracy, this is the way I would like, if this is okay with you, we're going to talk a little bit about Earth Day at the beginning. Then I want to take a musical break, and then we'll come back and we'll get a little bit more in detail. Is that okay with
you? Great. Yeah, perfect.
Okay, so let's just talk a little bit about Earth Day. You started in 2018. First of all, what was the attraction for you to work with this organization? And then talk a little bit about, when did Earth Day start? What was the motivation behind it?
Sure. So as you mentioned, you saw from our website, we have a vast amount of resources. Everything is free and accessible on our website, and we're really just trying to grow the environmental movement. So the major appeal for joining Earth Day Network was that global reach. I really wanted to take my new degree and work for an organization where I could have a major impact, not just at the local level, but at the global level. So Earth Day Network works with over 50,000 partners across the world, over 190 countries participate in some kind of Earth Day event. And just the opportunity that existed in that vast network, in that diverse network of people around the world. Earth Day itself just has such a positive feeling around it. It's not a bipartisan issue. It's not a faith-based issue. Everyone loves Earth Day. There's nothing bad people can say about celebrating our planet that we all live on. And so just to have that platform and that reach and that network to work with people who are committed to protecting this planet, that was just an opportunity I could not pass up. Plus having environmental education at the core of their mission, to work with green schools from K through 12, or helping higher education students become more involved on campus, or helping mayors across the world make commitments to green their cities, or helping every level of student and get involved in civic engagement and understand their voice in the civic process in whatever part of the world that they lived in. There's a lot of action steps, and we try to answer that question of how can I help? How can I get involved? That's what Earth Day Network strives to do, is we try to give you all the resources you need and give you that confidence and efficacy that you can make a difference by using our resources.
Well, it's amazing. It's just amazing how much that you have to do. Now, what was the first, do you have a little bit of history on what the first Earth Day, in fact, to give you a little bit of information here, Ken Norton he's the co-producer. He was the one that called you on the telephone. He was actually part of the group that buried the first car at San Jose Saints. What year was that, Ken? Do you remember?
1970.
In 1970, they buried it. So give us a little bit of background on Earth Day. Of when did it start, and what was the original motivation?
Sure, absolutely. So the idea came from Senator Nelson from Wisconsin. And he was doing different travels around the country, and it was just the state of United States environmental quality at the time. He saw the major spills in the oil spill in California. Smog was very prevalent in major cities around the world. The Cuyahoga River was on fire in Ohio. There was just some very visible environmental quality issues happening across the country. So he had the idea for what he called an environmental teach-in. And the teach-in model was based on the anti-war movements and the civil rights movements happening in the late 60s of how can we have conversations in our communities that are led by community experts, but are also a two-way dialogue. It's not just speakers speaking at the audience. It's a conversation. What is important to the community? And also with the teach-in, there's a very clear call to action. So we know what our task is once we leave this conversation. And so from the environmental teach-in, where Senator Nelson wanted to get college students involved, so he hired organizers from across the country, one being Dennis Hayes, who was at Harvard at the time and is still our board chair at Earth Day Network. And they got together and they worked to bring people onto the streets for Earth Day 2020. They wanted to do it around spring break time, so they decided for April 22nd, 1970, was the first Earth Day. And they got 20 million people across the country for the first Earth Day to get out into the streets and demand a better environment. And so we think about those numbers now of that was 20 million people before social media. So that was through calling, through mailing, through meetings. They mobilized this environmental movement in 1970, which within, I believe it was a year and a half, we had the EPA formed, the Clean Air Act, the Clean Water Act, the Endangered Species Act. These people demanded a better future for their planet, and they spoke up. And through Senator Nelson and his cadre of college volunteers who put this together, we had the first Earth Day that made a really major difference. And we celebrated that annually. And then in 1990, Earth Day went global. And we've been spreading to more countries every year. And we try to make it a global event every year to grow the environmental movement.
Well, this year is certainly very, very exciting to me, especially with the youth movement that's going on. In fact, last week I had the honor of interviewing two of the young people that actually were in Washington, D.C. for some training. What is your thought about the youth movement that young people are getting so involved? How does that play into with here we are coming up to 50 years, and how does that all play into it?
It's honestly a huge part of the movement. And so on a personal note, I've been absolutely awe-inspired by these young students, where the mass shooting and Last Valentine's Day in Parkland, Florida, that was my hometown, actually. That was my rival high school. And so seeing students from my community here on the National Mall, where I got to participate in March for Our Lives, and seeing the power of their voices, and them having a voice before voting age, I think, is really powerful as well, that they can't take their voices to the polls, so they're going to take their voices to their representatives in other ways. And so kind of a piece with that, talking about so much about Rachel Carson, I thought it was really powerful that the school that they were all from, Marjorie Stoneman Douglas, where that terrible tragedy happened, Marjorie Stoneman Douglas was also a very early female environmentalist who was protecting the Everglades. And so there was concerns that her name would now only be associated with this extreme tragedy and not all the environmental work that she did. But we saw the conversations turn of how proud she would be of these students and how they moved in the future and how, you know, these students are really honoring her legacy and taking on the federal government and seeing what they can do to make a difference and really fighting back and having a very strong voice. So it's just been absolutely incredible to see young students honoring the legacy of Marjorie Stoneman Douglas and how we can fight for, you know, the good of our planet and for each other. And so Earth Day Network is really adamant about involving youth of all ages, but we do have a lot of programs for higher education youth of how they can be involved, how can they be part of, you know, building their civic skills to have a voice in any political system that they exist within across the world. And really empowering them and helping amplify their voice through all the different platforms that Earth Day Network offers.
Amazing, amazing work that you're doing. I mean, I'm so proud of you. Just hearing you and just hearing you talk and just talking all about these things, it just gives you such a feeling of hope. So let's go ahead, Tracy. Let's take a musical break. And I found this very interesting song by Earth Mama. It's called What on Earth? And I just pay attention. One of the things I just want to remind my listeners, the reason we play the whole song is because songs have a message. And you got to sit back and kind of listen to it. Listen to what the song is saying, because you might get a little inspiration. You might get a little bit more information. But the most important thing is it might create the idea that you need to stand up and have your voice be heard. So let's go on and listen to What on Earth, sung by Earth Mama. Emma, when I return, I will continue my conversation with Tracy Ritchie from the Earth Day Network, where she serves as the Director of Education, and we will continue talking about the environment and the environmental movement and Earth Day. So here we go with What on Earth, sung by Earth Mama. Doing
tomorrow? Where on earth are we going if we don't find a better way? Every little thing we do really makes a difference. What on earth are we doing for tomorrow?
Yes, what on earth are we doing? I love that song by Earth Mama. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holt. And joining me on the phone all the way from Washington, D.C. is Tracy Ritchie from the Earth Day Network, where she serves as the Director of Education. And we are talking about the environmental movement and Earth Day. Well, welcome back, Tracy. Thank you so much for being on the show. I can't tell you how much I appreciate this interview.
Oh, my pleasure, Elaine. This is just so great to be able to talk to you and your audience. And what a powerful song of hearing about Earth Mama ask, what are we doing for tomorrow today? Because that's what really Earth Day is all about, you know, helping people find actions that they can do today to make a better tomorrow.
Well, you know, you pick a theme each year for Earth Day. And how, you know, this year's theme is Earth Day 2019, Protect Our Species. How do you choose the theme, and what kind of events do you like to see attached once you pick a theme?
Sure. So the past couple of years, we had some strategic planning a few years ago, and we knew leading up to 2020, our 50th anniversary, we would want to tackle some major environmental issues leading up to that anniversary year. So this year is Protect Our Species. As we've seen globally, biodiversity is decreasing at just astonishing rates, and we're facing possibly the sixth extinction of widespread extinction of animals across the world, plants and animals, excuse me. And this is really disruptive to our ecological systems and could have major negative impacts on our planet's health and, honestly, our health as well. So we wanted to talk about biodiversity, both local and global, and what people could do to help that. Last year, our theme was End Plastic Pollution, and I'm sure you and your audience have seen all of the information about the threats to plastic pollution through marine environments and seeing, you know, major upsetting news about, you know, whales washing up with so much plastic pollution in their stomachs and birds having issues with plastic in their stomachs and the fish we eat having plastic within them. In our drinking water, there's trace pieces of plastic as well. And then before that, we talked about environmental literacy, reforestation, and other environmental issues where we are very careful to make sure that there's never a doom and gloom aspect to any of our themes. We want to make people aware of these issues, but also provide really easy opportunities for engagement and things that they can do to make a difference. So this year with Protect Our Species, we wanted to give information to the global audience of, here's the threats to biodiversity. It's important. We need to act now. But here are things you can do in your everyday life to help make a difference. So I know you were talking a lot about bees and pollinators. There are so many easy things we can do, like the pesticides you were talking about. How can we reduce our use of toxic pesticides? What are some natural alternatives to make sure that our plants and vegetables are healthy outside without putting toxins on them that could impact local ecosystems and our health as well? What are things that we could be knowledgeable about for joining on to different policies about international trade for wildlife products, or different trade issues on where our produce comes from and where our food is coming from, and how do we make healthier choices about the food that we eat to have less of an impact on this planet. So we're always trying to provide our audience members and our network with really easy tasks that they can do that are positive, that are not critical or shameful, that, you know, these are easy things that you can do and help your family do and help your community do to make a better, make better choices.
Well, you know, it's interesting. There's a song by a woman by the name of Becky Hobbs that you might listen to. It's called Pale Moon. And one of the lines that I love in it, she says, we are one planet, one people, one heart. And we have to recognize that everything affects everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, even the politicians, that's what's always so mystifying to me. You know, why they're not moving quicker when it's affecting them and their children also. I mean, I have to scratch my head on that. Well, you know, we're starting to wind down to the end of this segment. And I know that you're very, very excited about the 2020 coming up with the 50th anniversary. Yeah. I mean, we have this Earth Day here in Sonoma County, and all through the Bay Area there are celebrations going on. I mean, Facebook is loaded with all kinds of information, and we will have information. Do you have like a listing on your website of all the different activities that go on across the country?
We have some, and so there's just no way to capture all the incredible events that are going on across the world. But one thing that we are focusing on for 2019 and will be a huge focus for our 2020 campaign is cleanup events, all the different things that we can do to help clean up our communities. So there are listings of cleanup events happening across the country, and then that will expand to the Great Global Cleanup in 2020. But we have information about how you can participate in cleanups, how you can host your own event. Like you said, we're getting really excited about 2020, and we're going to have some major initiatives. One called Earth Challenge 2020, and that is a major citizen science initiative. So how can we all do our part to collect data about our environment around us, and what does that data mean? How do we then interact with that data to know more about our ecosystem? And then the global cleanups happening. We'll also be having global teach-ins around the world. So that was that original model from Senator Nelson for the first Earth Day in 1970. We're going to be replicating that in 2020 to how we can have teach-ins across the world about local topics. And then just all the major events, assemblies, rallies, marches that always take place on Earth Day. Anything we can do to help amplify that, share those messages, how we can work together to have consistent messaging. Earth Day Network, which is really easy, earthday.org, one word. Our website has tons and tons of information of how we can help you, how we have resources to help your events. And that's really our role, is to help you with all the great events that you already do.
Okay, two last things before we say goodbye. At the end, I'd like you to give the website again, but I have to ask you this question. So what do you think about the Green New Deal? What's the buzz at your network? What's the buzz around that?
We're really excited that the conversation is happening. So there's some aspects to that we want our politicians to be having these conversations. What are choices we can do? What are policies that can happen to make environmental choices happen at that level? However, I would say Earth Day Network is really excited about the grassroots movement. So we haven't been seeing the top-down choices that we would like. So we want to duplicate that energy of 1970 and have 2019 and 2020 really be that grassroots movement to show our elected officials that this is important to all of us, and that if they would like to stay in office, they need to listen to their constituents of how important the environment is as a topic for everybody. So we're just looking forward to inspiring the grassroots movement, giving them the resources they need to make sure our politicians know that this is not an issue we're going to be quiet about, and we need their support in making some major changes.
I love it. We're not going to be quiet about it. I don't think we should be quiet at all. You know, I'm myself, Tracy, I've just become a great grandmother. And so, and you know, that really gives you the emphasis, another generation coming in that
Absolutely.
You know you have to make it a better world for all of us. Well, any last words? Let's give us the website one more time. And any last words that you'd like to say, any message, anything that you'd like to say?
Sure. Again, our website is earthday1word.org, O-R-G, so really simple. And we're very grateful for everyone that does anything for Earth Day. I heard you talking about your Santa Rosa event being the 10th annual event, so that is fantastic. Anything that everyone can do, just taking actions. What we like to say at Earth Day Network is Earth Day is a wonderful day. It gets a lot of great recognition, but it's not just one day. It's a movement. And that ever so popular phrase of Earth Day is every day, we really want to help people live that mantra of what can we do every day to be better stewards of our planet. And we hope we can provide the resources to help you do that. So anything that you all need, we're here to help.
Well, Tracy Ritchie, I have to say you have definitely inspired me this morning. I mean, knowing that there are young women like yourself up there doing such a great job, and I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being on Women's Spaces, and also to remind my listeners that all the information that we have given will be on Women's Spaces, the website, and I'm also, what I'm going to do is I'm going to find out what's going on in the Bay Area and make sure that I have everything listed on Women's Spaces about that, too. So thank you once again, Tracy Ritchie, from the Earth Day Network, where she serves as Director of Education, for being such a wonderful guest on Women's Spaces.
Thank you so much, Elaine. This was a really great treat. I really appreciate your time.
Oh, blessings to you. Well, folks, that's it for the show. And a special thank you to Tracy Ritchie from the Earth Day Network, where she serves as Director of Education. And remember, that website is www.earthday.org. O-R-G. You know, I'm going to do something a little bit different right now. I'm going to play a third song, and I'm going to play the song Imagine. You know, we've just had a wonderful conversation about our environment, and also there's so much going on in the world that we have to sometimes sit back and imagine a better place and to see ourselves contributed in whatever way we can. So let's go ahead and listen to Imagine, and that's sung by the Glee cast, which was a television show. So you want to go ahead and put that on? That's our third song. And so let's go ahead and listen to Imagine, then I will come back and we will close the show.
Imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for. And no religion too.
I love that song. Welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz, and that's it for our show. I want to make a special shout out and thank you to Tracy Ritchie from the Earth Day Network, where she serves as Director of Education. What a great, great interview. Excuse me. Their website is at www.earthday.org. A reminder, all the information heard on the show will be listed on www.womenspaces.com. Also, if you want to wish anyone a happy birthday, an anniversary, or a birth, please write me at Elaine at Women's, womensspaces.com, and I am happy to announce it. A reminder, tell your friends Women's Spaces will be aired again at 11 p.m. this evening. I'm so excited I get to listen to my own program. Also, I'm available for speaking engagements, and if you have any announcements you'd like to have in the air, do not hesitate to email me at elaine@womensspaces.com. And also, remember to go on www.kbbf.org, look up donations, and become a sustainer or to become a member. Remember, our children are our future, and we must never lose sight of that. Just think of that. Our children are our future, and we must never lose sight of that. That's why this month is April. We're celebrating Earth Day. It was a wonderful, wonderful conversation we had with Tracy Ritchie at the Earth Day Network. Get involved. Attend some of the rallies that are going to be going on around April 22nd to the 27th. Again, remember, our children are our future, and we must never lose sight of that. Happy spring, everyone. And take a breath every once in a while. When you get up in the morning, get out of bed and just go take a deep breath and say thank you to the great spirit, to the great creator, for giving you another day of life. I mean, it is so beautiful when you start thinking about it. Anyway, this is Elaine B. Holtz, and you've been listening to Women's Spaces. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to being with you the next time.
So easily, she knows everything you do, because the woman in your life loves you, because the woman in your life loves you.
The previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, April 8th, 2019.